So if I said to you, the Spartans and the Wolverines are having a big fight up at the big house, you would know exactly what I'm talking about. You wouldn't be thinking of bronze-clad warriors and little, or big rather, I don't know how big they are, furry woodland creatures, you know, gnawing at each other in a barn somewhere. No, you would be thinking about football teams and green and white and maize and blue. Because you know what those symbols mean. You know that the Spartans are college, Wolverines are college, right? I see some Wolverine fans out there right now. And that doesn't mean you're fans of woodland creatures. No, it means you're fans of a college. So today in the scripture, Jesus says, I am the light of the world, which is a symbol, like Spartans are a symbol for Michigan State. And sometimes when we read that, we don't necessarily know all of the meaning behind it, because we aren't in that place and we aren't in that time where Jesus was saying it. We think, oh, Jesus is the light of the world. And we think, oh, the sun is coming up. Jesus warms me, which is true. Or we think Jesus is the light of the world and we think maybe about being enlightened. Jesus reveals something. And that's true too. But there's so much more. There's so much more behind Jesus saying he is the light of the world. So we have to go back to that place and to that time. Jesus, when he said this, was at the Festival of Booths. The Festival of Booths in Jerusalem, being celebrated by the Hebrews, by the Israelite people. And this festival happened once a year. And during this time, all the Israelites, all the people of God, would build little huts, little booths, little shelters of branches and twigs and leafy branches outside their house. And they would go and live in that house outside, kind of like camping, you know, for a week. And they would do this to remember when their ancestors had wandered through the wilderness. And they had lived in tents themselves. They hadn't been able to live in stone houses or brick houses. They had to live in these temporary shelters. So they would build these booths to remember that. And every night at the temple, they would light enormous lamps in the temple and burn gallons and gallons and gallons of oil in order to celebrate the pillar of fire that went before the people of Israel as they wandered in the darkness in the wilderness. And the light would shine and cover, and it would light up the whole Temple Mount, and the whole city could see it, and they would look at that light and say, that's right, God is present with us, just like God was present with our ancestors in the wilderness. God guides us, and God is in his temple. So, in this place, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. It's a lot bigger than just that. Jesus isn't only saying, I'm light in this metaphoric sense. He's saying, I'm light in the way that the pillar of fire guided the people of Israel through the darkness. And I'm light in the way that God provided for God's people while they were in the wilderness. And I'm light like God's presence here in the temple right now that shines out over the whole city and provides a light to all the world. Jesus is saying, I am that light. I am that light. And he's fulfilling then a prophecy from Isaiah chapter 42. See, because not only does he say he is this light, not only does he say I am the light of the world, he demonstrates it. He demonstrates it by opening the eyes of the blind man. This is what Isaiah chapter 42 says. It says, God is speaking to his servant, and God says to his servant, here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. I am the Lord. I have called you, my servant. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind. So by Jesus doing this thing, Not only is he saying, I can open the eyes of the blind man, he is saying, I am fulfilling this prophecy from Isaiah, and I am the light of the world. I am God's chosen servant. I am the light to the nations. And then in verse 9 in Isaiah it says, see, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. And isn't that what the blind man himself says? He says, never before in all the history of the world has a man born blind received his sight. And now Jesus is doing a new thing, fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah. Not only declaring himself a healer, but saying, I am the light of the world that brings darkness into the light, that leads God's people through the wilderness, that provides the light of light, the light of life to all people, all nations. So Jesus is saying this, but not everybody sees it. The Pharisees certainly don't see it. But the blind man does. The blind man sees who Jesus really is. But it's a process. So let's walk with the blind man a little bit, the man who is healed by Jesus. Let's walk with him. First, Jesus heals him, and he goes to the pool of Siloam, which means sent. John interprets the Hebrew for us. Siloam means the one who was sent. Jesus sends the blind man to himself, the one who was sent. That's what that symbol means. The pool is named the one who is sent. Jesus, the one who is sent, provides the healing for the blind man. And so the neighbors and the friends, after all of this happens, come to the blind man and say, how is this going on? Who is this that is doing this to you? And he says, I don't know, this man named Jesus. And indeed, Jesus is a man. And a lot of people encounter Jesus just as this blind man started to, as a man, as a teacher, as a wise person, as a philosopher. I'm sure even many, many, many atheists out there in the world are thinking, yeah, Jesus, I could go with what he says. He's an okay dude. Pacifist, I'm for that. They encounter him as a man with human wisdom. But then the man who is healed meets the Pharisees, and the Pharisees ask him, who is this person that opened your eyes? And he says, a prophet. He's a prophet. Many, many of you think of Jesus as a prophet. And that's true, he is a prophet. He's a man sent from God. He's a man who has spiritual wisdom. He's a man who wants to bring you closer to the divine. A prophet. But so do the Muslims think of Jesus as a prophet. And Jewish people and Hindus. A holy man who has spiritual wisdom. A prophet, which is what he is. But now we see Jesus not only opening the man's physical eyes, but also his spiritual eyes, the eyes of his heart. For after the Pharisees had questioned him, Jesus comes to the man again. And he says, do you believe in the Son of Man? So Jesus asks you and me that question today. Do you believe in the Son of Man? Do I believe in the Son of Man? Not the teacher. Not just the teacher, not just the prophet, the Son of Man. And this is what that means. Jesus himself defines it. In John chapter 3, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. The Son of Man, the one sent from God, as it says in John 5, and Jesus, and God has given Jesus authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. And in John chapter 6, do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal. It is on Jesus, the Son of Man, whom God the Father has set his seal, who executes judgment in righteousness, who is the pathway to eternal life. Do you believe in the Son of Man? Do you worship him as the healed man has? Do you believe in the Son of Man? Do you entrust yourself to your Savior? Are you faithful to the one who redeems you? Do you believe in the Son of Man? Let us pray. Jesus, open the eyes of our hearts so that we may perceive you as you truly are, our precious Savior sent from God. Jesus, heal our scars and give us the light of life. Amen.